Amen. Let's give him a clap.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you. In my notes, it even says afternoon in my notes. It says it right there, but good afternoon. Hello, Eric, in the front row there. All right, so shameless advertising at the beginning of a sermon is generally a really bad idea, but I had a new book that I got. It came in the mail yesterday. So it is Christmas season. So we got a book table back there if you have some extra money and, you know, want to buy a Christmas gift. So I'll mention that. Also, next we'll talk about the week. It was a fun week. We had so many parties. All right, most of you were there Thursday night. That was cool. Yeah? Yeah. Thanks, everybody. And then we just turned around. We had another party the next night. And we had 38 campus students, a couple of teens sprinkled in there. So that's pretty cool. But now we're ready for our sermon this morning and talk about a party because we're talking about Jesus. The title of our sermon today is, O Come, Emmanuel. Now, what is the meaning of Christmas? Next slide. What is the meaning of Christmas? Well, I decided to do some research and find out what Christmas actually means. Now, the first half of the name, I'm guessing you probably know what that means, right? That's a reference to Christ. But it's Christ Mass. So I thought that would mean like a Mass, like, you know, like a church, you know, like the Catholic Church has a Mass. And actually, the word comes from that. It's Mass, which was shorted from M-A-S-S, that little umlaut thing in German, which comes from the Anglo-Saxon Mace and the Latin Missa, and it means to send. So the meaning of Christmas is God sent a Christ. God sent a Savior, a Messiah. And it means an anointed one, a king. So that's what we're celebrating. It's kind of early, you know, we got another, 6 days to go. But it's our last meeting here together, so we're going to celebrate it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wrap my sermon around two carols. And the first one is going to be, O come, Emmanuel. All right. Oops, did we miss a slide? O come, Emmanuel. Did we miss a slide? Oh, I didn't put it in there. Really? Could you go forward two slides just in case? Oh, I took it out. Oh, terrible. Because I was going to put the words of O come, Emmanuel. All right, up there. So I'm going to sing it. I'm just going to do it as a solo, I guess. Okay, listen. This is an interesting carol because it's in a minor key. And that means it's sad. It's a song about the coming of Jesus, and yet it's sad. It says, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here, until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou dayspring from on high, and cheer us by thy drawing nigh. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou key of David, come, and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Good job, God. Next slide. But why in a minor key? Because in this song we're reminded that we were captive Israel. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to our slave master, which is Satan. And before Jesus came into our life, we mourned in exile because we weren't a people of God. But then Emmanuel came. Let's go to Isaiah 7:14. What we're going to do is we're going to look at three prophecies about Jesus, specifically about the coming of a child. Isaiah 7:14. That's my first time ever singing a solo in my life. All right. Anyway, when Ahaz, son of Jotham, wrong verse. Isaiah 7:14. In fact, we actually learned the story about Ahaz and all that situation with Assyria and all that sort of stuff in a sermon about 3 months ago. But we're going to go down to verse 14. It says, Therefore, Ahaz, because you would not ask for a sign, and instead went and did what you wanted to do anyway, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And really, that's the idea of this song, right? O come, Emmanuel. The word im means among us. Emmanu means us. Im means among or toward. Manu means us. And El means God, like Beth El, house of God. So literally it means God among us. And that's who Jesus is. And it's so interesting because the first words we hear about Jesus in the New Testament in Matthew is that he will be called Emmanuel, God among us. And what's the last thing Jesus says to us in the book of Matthew? Surely I will be among you always to the end of the age. Because that's what Jesus is. Imagine God, creator of the universe. He came and he lived among us. We call it the incarnation. John 1, let's read John 1. The book of John doesn't have a birth story. So in the book of John, essentially John 1 is John's version, if you will, of the birth account. And he says this in John 1, verse 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. That's Jesus. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And then down in verse 14 it says, and the Word became flesh. And what did he do? He lived among us. God among us. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father. And what did he bring? He brought grace and truth. God took up residence among us. I don't know about you, but I don't know. I cried both of those videos. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop thinking about it because it makes me cry again. Mary looking at this little baby and calling him her Lord. It's what an amazing thing. But Jesus is among us this morning. By the way, Jan and I, we were in Israel and we were in the city of Megiddo. And that was our guide pointed out, yeah, that's a manger. Just a little few. I assume the one that Mary put Jesus in didn't have the rocks in the bottom. It's probably maybe some leftover corn cobs or something like that. I don't know what it would have been. And by the way, it's about this big. It's just about the right size for a cradle, I guess. And so God, You know, wrapped in a few cloths was laid in a manger. That's how God came. God came in the most humble possible way to a relatively, not a destitute poor woman, but a poor woman in a not so great town. And yet we observed his glory. The birth in shame, in a sense, and in poverty was a birth of glory. The glory of the one and only Son. So God became a child. That's what we're celebrating on Christmas. Sure, he wasn't born on December 21st and 25th and all that sort of stuff. I don't care about all that. God became a child, became a baby. He became a helpless little child in a manger. To the Greeks, this is a scandal. To Muslims, this is ridiculous. They scoff at the idea. Because to all other peoples, God, if he existed at all, would be something very distant and separate. And we would still, therefore, be in exile. But no, God came and lived among us, John 1:18. No one has ever seen God. Oh, wait, yes, actually they have. But the one and only Son, who is himself God, and is in closer relationship with the Father, has made him known. See, that's how we came to know God. That's how we came to know God. This is the Christian message. God became man so that became like man so that we could become like him. God became man because otherwise he couldn't be a perfect priest, as we learned when we studied in the book of Hebrews. Yes, Jesus is God who came toward us. So if we go back to the prophecy that we saw earlier in Isaiah 7, it says that a virgin will be with child. A poor peasant, humble girl, betrothed to be married, will conceive and give birth to God in the flesh. And what did Emmanuel do? Well, that brings me back to the song. O come, Emmanuel, and rescue captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. We were captive Israel. We were Joseph, not Joseph, stepdad of Jesus. We are Joseph, son of Jacob, taken as a slave to Egypt, sold for 20 pieces of silver. As a slave in Egypt. We were Israel itself, held captive to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was almost Satan incarnate in this story. Before the baby Jesus came, before the Son of God appeared, we were living in exile. We were cut off from God. We were Judah, taken into exile because of our sin, separated from God. 1 Peter 2:9, before Jesus came, we were not a people. We were aliens. Why? Isaiah 59:2, we know this passage well. We know it very well. Isaiah 59, verse 2. You don't even need to read it, most of us. He says, it's not like God's arm is too short to save. And by the way, Jesus is that arm, by the way. Or his senses too dull to hear, but our iniquities have separated us from our God. Our sins have hidden his face from us, so we will not hear. We were slaves. We were living in exile. Without hope in the world. But then in the town of Bethlehem, a baby was born. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5, again, describes the situation we're in. And it was not a good situation. Before Christ came, it was not good. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. We were dead, without hope. in a hopeless world. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Let's go back to Isaiah. Another prophecy about a child who was to come. My fingers aren't working very well. A little chilly, I guess. Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, let's go to the next. Oh, wait, you're there already. Great. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. Because we were in distress. Why? Because we were captive Israel. We were in exile here. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he honored Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness, that was us, have seen a great light. And that's what the Magi saw, correct? They saw a light in the east. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoicing at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Why? For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end, and he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali, next slide. Where is that? Oh, did I lose that slide too? Oh, no. I should have given you the current version. There was one between those two. Two slides got lost. Oh, rats. No! It was in the version I sent. All right. So there's a map here, and it's a map of all the tribes. Zebulun and Reuben and Gad and Asher and Simeon and Judah and Daniel and all that sort of stuff. Dan. And then Zebulun and Naphtali, they're just to the west of the Sea of Galilee. And then there's another map. It's a map of Israel in the time of Jesus. And Nazareth is right on the border between Zebulun and Naphtali. So the prophecy is the Messiah would come from a place that we call Nazareth. So that's what that's about. He says, no more gloom for those who are in distress. And folks, I don't know about you, I was walking in distress. As the words of the most honest song ever written by anybody, I was on the highway to hell. You know that song? But rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Has come to rescue us, O Israel. In verse 2 he says, a light has dawned for those who were living in darkness, and we were living in darkness. In verse 3 it says, the nation has been enlarged. Not just Jews anymore. I don't know if any of you were even Jewish, but it doesn't even matter. And the kingdom is growing. And in verse 4 it says, we were burdened by a yoke of slavery. And he says all these things that enslaved them, and he talks about the armies that had taken them and all that sort of stuff. And it says they're all going to be fuel for the fire. Why? O come, Emmanuel, to rescue captive Israel and to save us from exile. Why? Verse 6, because to us a child has been born, to us a son is given. And that baby in that manger, he will reign on David's throne forever. And because of that, we will be with him forever. That's the good news of Christmas. A baby lying in a feeding trough is God with us. And he will surely rescue captive Israel. And he'll bring us back from exile here, because we were living in exile. Micah 5, verse 2 through 5. Okay, can we go back to the Micah 5 slide? Hey, awesome. Guys, you guys are awesome. Don't worry about it. It's cool. It's cool. All right, Micah 5, 2 through 5. Three prophecies. Isaiah 7, the virgin will be with child, and we'll call him Emmanuel. And Isaiah 9, to us a child is born. Micah 5, verse 2. Verse 2 through 5. I normally read just verse 2, but I thought, you know what, maybe I'll keep reading a little farther and see a little bit more stuff about Jesus. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son. Abandoned in slavery, in exile. And the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and he will shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace. Bethlehem. Not a big town. Not an important town. Maybe a little bit bigger than Nazareth. Nazareth was a tiny village. But it says, from the town of Bethlehem will come one who will be ruler. A baby in a manger. No wonder Herod was afraid. No wonder Herod wanted to have him killed. Because Jesus would take down the power of the prideful and the mighty. He says in verse 3 that Israel be abandoned, and it was. From about 430 BC, God did not speak to his people at all, that we know of. And they waited. And the last prophecy in the entire Old Testament was that John would come, a voice crying in the desert. And they waited. And they waited. Until the one in labor gave birth to a son. So again, we see Mary giving birth to a son. 430 years later, the silence was broken when Gabriel came and he announced to the great kings and all the powerful people on the earth. No, actually, to lowly shepherds. Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. Jesus came to a young girl who wasn't even married, who was in at least technically in shame, and to a baby who was laid in a manger, and it was announced to shepherds, right? Luke 2, verse 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. Behold, I bring good news of great joy. Today, as Savior, who is Messiah, has been born. And He will shepherd His flock in Micah 5, 2 through 5. His reign will reach to the ends of the earth, and it's already done that. And He, this baby boy, will be our peace. And so the song ends with, "Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel." Now, do we have the next slide? Did I get lucky with that one? Okay. Well, yeah, that one, but the next one after that. All right. So, like I said, I want our sermon to be wrapped between two carols. The first one was kind of a sad one. It was about the fact that we were in slavery, that we were exiles. But it ends, "Rejoice, rejoice," right? So I want us to sing together. You can help me out on this one, okay? Everybody knows this one. So let's sing "Joy to the World." "Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy." My favorite. "He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love." Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Merry Christmas. Thanks.
Okay, everybody, we're going to continue our service with another.